we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program, and we trust that all is well with you. And so today marks September the 11th. That's a day that lives quite embedded in our memories because of something that happened back in 2001. That was the day that the Twin Towers were attacked, and I happened to be on sabbatical during that time. I had taken a couple of weeks because I had spent so many hours with lawyers that year. It was a great year for us. We were we advanced to a sovereign status as a church, but that meant I was dealing with a lot of lawyers and things like that, and so I remember what was going on that day, and I was asking, you know, do I need to come back? And they said, no, we've got everything under control. And I tell you that that was something that meant a lot to me. And so let me address another situation if I could, and that is you and I are called to be to specific ministries inside the church where we edify and encourage the body of Christ. Okay, so I want you to, you know, the fivefold gifts, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and every other gift that God gives to the church is for the equipping and the edifying of the saints. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there were a lot of people, most of whom weren't Christian, but even some Christians were bashing on a brother in Christ, and I've been in some of his services before, because they did not like the lack of response or the manner in which their church responded to Hurricane Harvey. And so I want you to know that we are very active in ministering to people who are hurting and things like that. That's what we're called to do. In fact, a week ago, we took up an offering for the Hurricane Harvey victims. Let me tell you, the Assemblies of God fully funds a ministry called Convoy of Hope. There are no administrative costs that are taken out of their fundraisers, where some of these national organizations that are very high profile, very little, sometimes like 10 or 15% of the money that is given to them is actually, it actually arrives on the scene to people who are in desperate need. So Convoy of Hope has a 100% rating. They're every dollar that comes in for disaster relief efforts, and I'm sure that we will be doing that to areas that were hit with the storms as well. In fact, Convoy of Hope was on the ground waiting for the opportunity to minister to the people who were impacted with the hurricane out in Texas. And so this last or a week ago Sunday, we offered up the congregation an opportunity to speak with their finances and helping those recovering. We had some churches that were damaged. We had some ministers' homes that were damaged. And, you know, I know what that is like. In 2004, I believe it was, we had two Sundays in September where we did not we weren't able to have service because of the crisscrossing of all of the hurricanes back in then. back at, in that season. One week the church was without power. 1 week our home was without power. And so there was a lot of issues that went on during that time. Convoy of Hope was already positioned there, and so we gave them the opportunity to donate to these disaster relief funds, and we will do so again. But one of our men in our church, he got up and was addressing the congregation. He's a Assemblies of God pastor's son, and he described how when his father was pastoring in Louisiana, there was a hurricane that came through, and their church was their home was devastated. And he said, we continued to try and minister to people as best we could. And he said there was a person that called, and he said, hey, I want you to know I'm a general contractor. I go to such and such church, and my pastor's home was just devastated. And I want you to know that just as soon as I get his house finished, I'm coming to rebuild your house. And the man testified. He said, we were back in our home by Christmas. And he said, we were the first home that was rebuilt in our community. And thus we were able to minister more effectively to our community because we were able to be reestablished. And so if you're looking for a ministry to provide funds to, that there's not going to be any overhead cost, everything that you give will go to the disaster relief funds, not just for Harvey, but areas impacted by Irma as well. You can contact us at 321-454-4263. Or you can message us via Facebook, email meritassembly@hotmail.com. Come to church, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. You can mail in an offering. However you want to do it, everything, every penny that comes in will go towards disaster relief funds, and it will greatly minister to people who have been impacted. Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538. If you have suffered electrical issues, or maybe your air conditioner bit the dust with all of the cycling on and off that comes with loss of power and things like that, give them a call, 321-632-9538. They are excellent at what they do. They will get things up and running for you. And I encourage you to give them a call. I talked to Dennis just a little over a week ago, and God has been very good to them, taking good care of them. And I know that they will do a great job. They do very good work. They've done great work for us in the past, and they will do great work for you. So I want to take you today to Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. And I'm going to be reading in verse number 9 is where we're going to begin reading today. And then we're going to go over to Malachi as well. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Now, I want to remind you, we're not going to be touching on all of these things in depth, but we are going to talk about some of them. Verse number 11. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. So let's talk about these things a little bit. First of all, let's start with verse number 13. And it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. And I want you to know your children pay attention to you. They really do. And you want to make sure that you are teaching them well. Teach them what it is like to understand and know the Lord. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him. And so I am blessed with three extraordinary children, one extraordinary daughter-in-law, and an extraordinary grandchild. I'm blessed. All of them are involved in ministry in some form. It's not that they are full-time engaged in ministry, but they are still active in serving the body of Christ. Some of them at our church, some of them at a local church here in Brevard County. You want to teach your kids. You want to give them all of the reasons to believe. You don't want to give them excuses why not to believe. Okay? I remember a television commercial when I was growing up about a father and a child, and the child wanted to do everything that the father did, and all of that was fine, well, and good, until it got to the end of the commercial, and it showed the father doing something that is not healthy, and the child trying to mimic that activity himself. And that's the sort of lessons that you don't want to be teaching your children. And a lot of people in modern times have tried to remove themselves from the educational process of the children. We want to send our kids to school so that the teachers will teach them. And then we want to send our kids to church so that the church will teach them. But parents, I want you to know, you are the primary teacher. You are the one that will do most of the training. You don't want people having to come and train your children in spite of what you are teaching them. You want people reinforcing what you are teaching them. You want people reinforcing what it is like to be a person of prayer. You want people reinforcing what it is to be a student of the Bible. You want people reinforcing what you are trying to get your children to understand, and that is that it is a privilege to live with Jesus in your heart and live a lifestyle that glorifies Him. And so all your children shall be taught by the Lord. Have you ever asked yourself what that process looks like? Well, you know, I can tell you this. I have never with my eyes actually seen Jesus. I have never with my ears actually heard the audible voice of the Lord. But I have seen His hands extended through people. And so when this says that your children shall be taught by the Lord, there's a process by which that goes through. And God described the process this way. That as parents were going through life with their children, that they should be having conversations when they're traveling down the road. That it's not just about playing the alphabet game on the license plate. As people are traveling down the road, they should be talking about the goodness of God. And so I want to encourage you that if you want your children to have a healthy relationship about God, don't be filling their ears with a whole lot of complaining about other people of God. You want them to be taught to love their neighbor, not to hate their neighbor. You want to teach your kids to honor their father and mother, not undermine their father and mother. There's a lot of people from broken homes, and the one thing that happens many times that is regrettable is when one parent is undermining another parent. And that's not going to produce the fruit that you want. You want to produce a loving respect in your kids for your for their parents. Okay? You want them to honor them. So if you want to receive that, you need to sow that. So with this being said, I believe that much of the teaching that takes place of our kids in aspect to God is supposed to begin primarily at home. It is supposed to be reinforced at church. It used to be, I know this is going to come as a shock to many people, but it used to be that the churches were the schoolhouses. It was the place that the reading manuals were not, you know, just a reading primer that somebody wrote, run, spot, run, see, spot, run. It wasn't that. It was they broke open the King James Version of the Bible, because that was the version of the day, and they taught their kids to read by teaching them the Bible. And then it was really helpful if that was not just a reading lesson, but it was reinforced in creating morals and values and love for humanity. Much of what we are experiencing now is a confusion in the message that our kids receive, where they're taught to be selfish on one aspect, and then whenever a crisis happens, they're taught to love, and all of a sudden we're bewildered when we see people who are acting more like the Levite and the Pharisee, who ignored the man who was bleeding and wounded on the side of the road, than they are the Samaritan, a natural enemy, if you will, not so much in that sense of the term, but it wasn't a healthy relationship. And yet that person said, you know what? I've traveled this road a lot. One day that might be me. And so one of the reasons that we try and sow and help in disaster relief is because we know that, Matthew came pretty close. We bought our house. The sale of our house was postponed a month because of a hurricane that appeared, and the mortgage company wouldn't close on the house with a hurricane bearing down, so they postponed it 30 days. And we finally got into our house, and that was on a Monday. We closed on a Monday, and on Friday a storm came through with a name attached to it, and you know, I will be honest with you. Excuse me. That was a very thought-provoking week. And here, I distinctly remember this thought. God, you just provided this house. And so, God, if this storm comes and knocks this house to the ground, I know this. You're going to build us a better house than this. And so it wasn't fear. It wasn't anything like that. And we have tried to instill in our children, who are all grown now and have healthy relationships with God, that they should be taught by the Lord. And there's a byproduct to this. There's two that we'll be talking about here just in this. Great shall be the peace of your children. Great shall be the peace of your children. Hezekiah was a great king, but he was a lousy father. Hezekiah said, well, you know what? At least there's not going to be disaster in my day. Even though my actions are the ones that have prompted this, my children and my grandchildren, they're going to be the ones that suffer because of my own actions today. And there are a lot of people who are okay as long as their needs are being met. They don't really feel too badly about generations from now suffering from the damage of that. You know what? I wanted to teach my kids what it was like to have a committed marriage. And so it's not about being selfish. It is about establishing a home where God is glorified. Okay, so teach your children, and you want your children to experience healthy relationships. You want them to experience health and safety and prosperity in every area of their life. I want to see my kids experience the blessing, and I am of the persuasion that they are going to see greater levels of success than I did, and I won't feel bad about that. I will feel very good about that. I was talking a little bit earlier about people who were bad-mouthing. Listen, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. You don't want to be doing his job for him. Okay? I don't want anybody to say, you know, you work in a demonic manner. So I you won't hear me criticizing brothers and sisters openly. So because I wanted my children to experience the peace of God, I don't talk negative about other ministries and things like that. I want them to know that we're all on the same team. We're all on the same team. And so when I was talking about that brother earlier in another state that people were talking bad about, our job is to edify. And listen, if you do not have authority over them to bring correction into a situation, then we need to keep our lips zipped, because that's not something we should be saying. Righteousness shall be established. And so we want to see that. Let's go back to verse number 9. We've talked enough about your children being taught, and as a result of that there would be peace for your children. Praise God for that. Teach in such a manner that it is going to result in long-term righteousness and long-term peace. Okay? In verses 9 and 10, it talks about things that change the landscape. Noah's waters change the landscape. The mountains depart. The hills be removed. But God says, my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. You have to understand that God does not just want you and I to experience episodes of peace. He wants to establish a covenant of peace. And in Malachi chapter 2, verse number 3, it says this, behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feast, and no one will take you away. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. And so he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many from iniquity. So when God says, I'm never going to take my kindness from you, I'm not canceling my covenant of peace, I'm going to continue to have mercy. First of all, you need to understand that Malachi comes along and says that covenant of peace is also a covenant of life. One of the ways that the Old Testament is referred to is the Old Covenant, and the New Testament is referred to as the New Covenant. There were people in the Old Testament that entered into a covenant with death. God says, I want to establish with you a covenant of life. The devil will offer you a death style. God offers you a lifestyle. I don't know about you, but the choice that I don't want is, well, what way in which of these ways do you choose to die? God says, I've come that you might have life and you might have abundantly. The purpose of the covenant in Malachi that we hear about, this may be, for some of you, this may be the first time you've ever heard something mentioned out of Malachi that wasn't about tithing and offering. God says, I have given to my priests, and by the way, the New Testament identifies every believer as a royal priesthood. He says, I gave them to him so that he might fear me. the covenant that we have of peace is so that you and I might live in a holy, reverential awe of God. And he said, what makes Levi special is he lived what he was supposed to live. I gave him a covenant of life and peace so that he would revere me. And he said, so he feared me and was reverent before my name. Okay? And so that covenant is supposed to establish a lifestyle for us. It is supposed to also impact the words that come out of our mouth. The law of truth was in his mouth, or true instruction. A lot of people want to tell you how to do something and they've never done it before. You know, check their credentials. By the way, if you're having some home repairs done, you might want to check and make sure that that guy knows how to drive a nail before you have him repairing your home. You might want to, deal with the electrical people that I referred to, the wire care, heat, and electric, before you find out that guy doesn't even know how to connect the electrical wiring the right way. You want people who know what they're doing. Malachi says the law of truth was in his mouth, injustice was not found on his lips. And it says he walked with me in peace and equity, and he turned many from iniquity. Okay, so God establishes a covenant with us, and it impacts the way that we live, it impacts the way that we speak, and it impacts the way that we walk. And what it results in is other people being turned from a lifestyle of iniquity and sin and rebellion against God. Let's live our life in such a manner that people want to stream to the goodness of God rather than run away from it. One thing should be, or there are several things that should be found in the house of God. There should be the presence of God. There should be worship. There should be truth. There should not be a standard of injustice. There should be people who are living out the message, and there should be new people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, if we're not influencing people, if we're not seeing people come to faith in Jesus, there's a problem, and we might need to revisit the covenant again to find out, what is it that I'm doing wrong? If God creates a covenant of life and peace, of worship, and we don't worship, we're not going to see the fruit of that. If he's created a covenant with us in truth, and we go out there and we misrepresent him, we're not going to be seeing what God wants us to see. I want to experience all of the goodness of God's covenant. How about you? God bless you. You have a marvelous Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
is like a